The title of this sermon is Not Waiting for the Stones to Speak. What kind of message gets us moving, gets active? Well, we speak about wonderful things that happen in our lives. Sometimes we go out to our colleagues at work or to our friends and we talk about the things we have seen on our television screens. Last week, maybe you have talked about the elections in America and the one who won and the other one who has lost. Some people react when they look at their Facebook profile and they see all kinds of messages of all kinds of friends from all kinds of places and they react immediately to that what they've seen. Messages can motivate us to do well and good, but also messages can motivate us to do wrongful acts. For the moment and time when we heard the truth from scriptures, when we were motivated by those words of Christ in our lives, something happened with us. We were revived enough to the words we have written, the written in scripture, from the words we hear from the pulpit. Those words motivate me to go into the baptismal pool and be baptized in the name of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that some messengers and some messages lead people not to Christ, but farther away from Christ. Instead of a closer and intimate relationship with Him, to an intimate relationship with the world. Just turn your Bibles to Daniel. The Bible of Daniel, the 7th chapter, and I will read from you from verse 25. It's talking about there about the fourth terrible beast in the vision that Daniel saw, and was terrible and was not right to see. And that beast has a message. Verse 25 of Daniel 7. And he shall speak great words, this beast, and against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and will think to change times and laws. Messages to deceive the truthful people who are clinging to the words of Christ. In Revelation 13, verse 11, we read about a beast that is coming from the earth. And also, this beast has a very strange saying. Well, it looks like a lamb. Nice, cuddly, something you will hold and grab. But it will speak as a dragon. And it will deceive all of them that dwell on the earth and do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. It's messages that deceive. Wrong messages will deceive many people who are not clinging to the words of Christ. We know when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, that was saying in Matthew 24 that many false Christs will come thinking to deceive the very people who are clinging to the words of God. Verse 24 of Matthew 24 says, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and so shew great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, will even deceive the very elect. False messengers give wrong motivations and put you on a wrong track. Jesus rebuked the leaders of their day, the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and say, well,
The message that you bring is a wrong message. You are deceiving people, and if you deceive people, you give them a wrong motivation. They will cling to the words of God, or even run far away from it. If you go to Matthew 23, where you will read how Jesus is rebuking the leaders of the church of that day and age, because they will not bring a revival of the word, but a revival of their own righteousness. Let's read in Matthew 23, verse 13. He said to the Pharisees, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." He was very direct. "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in." If you got a wrong message with a wrong motivation, you're not going to the new Jerusalem where there is peace and hope and joy for everlasting and everlasting. Wrong messages give people a wrong motivation to walk in the dangerous direction. And this day of age, the words of Christ spoke on the Mount of Olives are still happening today. There are still people being motivated to do the wrong things in their lives. One evening I was looking with Elma to a YouTube clip about a man living in Australia. Maybe you've seen it. A man living in Australia, and he claims that he is Christ. It is a couple, and they say that they are Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene, and they celebrate in Queensland, in the northern part of Australia. There, in the heartland of Bible-believing Christians in Australia. People in a part of Australia that are really in going with the word of the Lord. And in that area, a false Christ emerged. This person, his real name is Alan John Miller, and his wife, called Susie Look, said, "My name is Jesus. And I'm serious." Mr. Miller says in a video recording with Elman I saw, where he's talking to people, that he has the message of this time for people. And Bible-believing Christians in the heartland of Australia, people who would know better, are joining in flocks to the building and listening to the message of this man. Mr. Miller was born in southern Australia, has two children from a previous marriage, and his life in Christ, the saying that he was Christ, began when he remembers details of his past life of being Christ. In one recording he says, "There are probably a million people who say they are Jesus, and most of them are now in asylum centers. But one of those people has to be the real Jesus, and he said of himself that he is the one." And he's holding sessions, and people are coming to their meetings. And when Elma and I looked at his statements, this false Christ was saying something very interesting. When people are asking, "Do you all those things in the Bible that are written about Jesus, did you do them?" And he said, this false Jesus, this Alan John Miller said, "Well, not everything in the Bible written about me is true. If you are revived by the word, and if you believe what the word says, then if somebody would claim such false accusations, you would say, you're a false Christ, and that should watch out for you." But people are drawn in message to come and listen to this false messenger. A false message
is something that is contrary to that what is being said and laid down in the words of God. It's not only talking about being watchful for clear and obvious lights, just as for Jesus' person, but also about non-biblical doctrines, so as people say that there is an immortal soul, that we can observe other days than the Sabbath day. Or people say that the law of the Ten Commandments is not that all important for this day and age. But we have seen the truth, we have read the truth, and we know that if we hear messages that is contrary to the words of Scripture, we must run away, as we have a task to preach the truth. We have, as Adventists, have a task to share the truthful message brought by a people who themselves understand the word of the Lord, and that the word of the Lord invites us to go out and to tell the truth. You remember those soldiers who were guarding the tomb where Christ lay as he was crucified and died? And that those soldiers saw that the stone was rolled away. They saw with their own eyes truth happening, just as we with our own eyes read the Bible words of Scripture. And these people who saw the empty tomb were the best people to go out and proclaim Jesus is alive, he is risen. But what happened? Well, they assembled with the elders, and the elders listened to the counsel of the men who saw, and they gave large sums of money to the soldiers to say something's different. And well, what was the result? That the Jews until this day have a different understanding of what was happening there at the tomb where Jesus had laid for 3 days and 3 nights. Are we being sold out? Are we given money or other excuses for not saying the truthful words of Scripture? We have been revived by the Word.
Amen,
revived by the Word to live out those words in our daily lives. As somebody is giving us money to just sit in the pews and not go out and preach? Are they giving us incentives like something good to eat? And you got a full stomach and say, well, my food has to digest first before I can go out and walk the doors. What is being offered to us if we don't share the good news we have seen for ourselves? Are we denying that good that God has worked in our lives? What does it take for us to share the message of life? Paul, who wrote to the young Timothy, said, well, there will be a lot of people who are itching ears and rather listen to fables, who don't want to listen to sound doctrine. My brothers and sisters, we have sound doctrine.
Amen.
I hope you believe we have sound doctrine. And we need to share those words of life, because there are people walking around bringing a false message. And if there are people who are bringing a false message, and there is not a rightful message to preach and to say, are we like those Pharisees who rebuked Jesus? And Jesus says, I will let the stones cry out. Are we so waiting for something to happen that we are waiting for the stones to speak? Paul writes to the church of Thessaloniki that people will be lost because they don't have a love for the truth. The truth needs to be spoken. Bilaam tried to conceal the truth, but he couldn't. Absalom was bringing lies about David's reign as a king. But the Lord eventually put a halt to that, and David could regain his kingdom. Think about Satan, how he deceived one third of the angels by bringing a false message. Luckily, two thirds of the angels stand with the Lord. God seeks worshippers who worship in spirit and truth. People who believe the words of Scripture and say, we don't want to wait to see the stones crying out to heaven. Not waiting for the stones to speak. In Revelation 5, John of Patmos saw a vision where there was consternation in heaven. Who can open up the scrolls? And then there was the Son of Man. He was righteous. He was full of glory. He is the one who is able to open up the scrolls, who can bring truth, who can bring justice, who can bring mercy. And heaven was happy and glad and joyful because the rightful words could be spoken and could be brought in the world. Jesus has the truth. Jesus can speak the judgment. He is the Lamb that was slain to overcome the world. And Jesus has given each and every one of us an assignment to speak the truth. He didn't say, well, I will say to the buildings of the world, preach the message. He said it to us. Let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter. When Jesus was opening up the scrolls in the synagogue, and he was telling his hearers how important it is for hearing the truth and what the assignment of Jesus was in the world. Luke 4, reading from verse, not 8, but 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. Jesus came to speak life, love, and liberty. To speak the word of truth. To speak the acceptable year of our Lord. Jesus had a clear message. Bring life to the lifeless. Give life to those who are bonded by sin, by suffering, by pain, by attacks of Satan. God sent his own Son. God didn't say to the stones and to the walls of this world, you go out and preach. He sent his Son. Well, now we are in the situation that Jesus is up in heaven as high priest. And he's preparing a place for us, but also for the people who are not in this building at this moment of time. And he says to us, go out and share the good news of the acceptable year of the Lord. But it seems that we like to see miracles and want to see stones that are going to speak. We need a message that moves and activates. We as Adventists have God given a wonderful message
Three wonderful messages. You all know Revelation 14. I don't have to quote it this morning. We need to say to people that Jesus is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. He is the one we should adore and trust. His law is perfect. Not only for the past or for this moment, but for all eternity. The law of the Lord is not flaws or has shortcomings. We need to live out in our daily lives the fact that Jesus is our high priest and he's coming. He's coming soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Or our hearts so stone cold that we cannot even move? Do we have stone cold hearts so cold that we do not dare to say to others that Jesus can change us and motivate us to go out in the world, a dying world, and bring wonderful words of life? And we all know the second message of the second angel message. We all know it. We all know that we should leave Babylon because the great city is going to be destroyed. People left their churches and listened and studied the Bibles of Daniel and Revelation because of the preaching of William Miller. People in droves left the church, found each other and went studying the Word of the Lord. The Word was bringing, it was giving a revival. It was a great awakening. People were captivated by the truth of Daniel 8 verse 14. The sanctuary will be cleansed. It was a time to prepare for the Maker. It was a message that moved people. It was a message that started and prompted the establishment of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. William Miller could be a stone if he was studying Daniel and kept those words for himself. But praise God, he didn't. He went out. He didn't want to see the stones crying out to heaven, saying, "Leave Babylon." He saw his assignment, he saw his star, and he went out. We know that the third angel message is a message of urgency. It's a message that we should really should listen to. That's what the Lord has given us. We don't want to see our loved ones get entangled with plagues and suffering because they do not hearken the words of the Lord that they could accept. Judgment and our eternal destiny urges us to make a choice. And it is very important that we must realize that the truth will set us free. The truth can people who are bonded by false messengers and false messages can set them free, but they need to hear the truth. Church, do you see the urgency of speaking the truth? That other people hear the truth. That we all can receive Jesus as King in our lives and in that of our fellow man. Or do you want to see a miracle happen and hear the stones speak and declare that Jesus is King? Or do you want to be like Elijah or John the Baptist? Are we Adventists? Are we a church to proclaim and prepare the way of our Lord Jesus Christ? What is our answer in this day and age? What are we waiting for? Jesus rebuked those Pharisees who are hindering the people who want to praise Jesus Christ.
He said, if you stop the revived people who are proclaiming Christ, then you are getting into a situation that I must even let the stones cry out. Well, I don't want to see lifeless images speak. I rather listen to a person than for a stone in the floor saying, you should accept the Lord. Waiting for stones to say something that I myself need to proclaim and say to my fellow man. We, as a revived people, as we read during the past week of prayer, we, as a revived people, revived by the words of the Lord, should move forward. Those people who saw Jesus there entering Jerusalem on a mule, they were revived. How were they revived? Because Jesus spoke the words of truth to them. Jesus brought healing. Jesus took away their suffering and gave them hope of a new life, hope in Christ, hope in a loving Savior. And they were revived as nothing could stop them to say, glory, hallelujah, I praise to our Father. To say, God is good. Here is Jesus, the King of Kings, as he enters Jerusalem. Are we revived enough? Because a revived people cannot be silenced. A revived people, when they hear the truth, will know that the truth has set them free and that they can proclaim and go up forward and share the message to a dying world. We can read in the last daily reading of the week of prayer the following that Sister Wright has written in Praise 21. What is our mission? To do what you can, and God will increase your ability. Let no church think it is too small to exert an influence and to serve in the great work for this time. Let no one excuse himself because there are others who have talents to employ in the cause. Do your part. God will excuse no one. God has given to each his work. And to every man will reward according to his work. Everyone will be judged according to what he or her has done and will give account to himself to God. We need to be motivated. How motivated as Christ was motivated? Jesus, he wept. He wept when he rode into Jerusalem and he saw the city. He wept because he knew that not everybody truly accepted the message of the kingdom. He knew that it was the ultimate consequence was of rejecting that wonderful message. But did he stop? Did he say, it is a difficult task, I'm not entering the Jerusalem? No, he went forward. And we know from prophecy, from scripture, what the fate of the world will be if they don't accept the words of life we have received in our lives. But should we stop because some people will or will not accept the message? We need to remember the words of Jesus on the Mount of Olives. We must remember what Jesus said, and the message of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ will be preached all around the world, and then what? The end will come. Our task is not to wait until the stones are going to speak. Our task is not to wait until the pastor evangelizes and gives Bible study. Our task is not to wait until the outreach committee has developed a new plan. Our task is to go out in the vineyard, and if you are like a stone at this moment of time, the Lord asks you, let me soften your heart and make you willing to go outward and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What should we do? Listen to what Sister White says on page 20 of your reading. There is a great work before us. The work that engages the interest and activity of heaven is committed to the Church of Christ. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The work for our time is attended with the same difficulties that Jesus had to meet, and that the reformers of every age had to overcome. And we must set our wills on the side of Christ and move forward with confidence in God. The question this morning is, are you and I, are we those lively messengers? Are we willing to proclaim His name, even if there are some people who want to wait and see the stones cry out? What Jesus wants is important, and not the opinion of men. We need to trust the Bible, for it is the only necessity, the only sure thing in life we have. The word of the Lord can make the strong soft, make the weak powerful, make the learned men of the world foolish, and make the humble Christians fishers of men. Do you want to see the stone speak? Well, I hope not. I pray that you will be a living witness in word, in deed, and trust. And we have received those abilities, not by ourselves, but by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the gift and talents to do this almost seemingly impossible task. On the last pages of the reading, on page 23, I believe, Sister Wright wrote the following. When Jesus went away, he left to every man his work. And nothing to do is an unwarrantable excuse. Nothing to do is the reason of trial among brethren. For Satan will fill the minds of idlers with his own plans, and said to them to work. Your unemployed heart and mind are for him a plant to sow the seeds of doubt and skepticism, Sister Rice writes. Those who have nothing to find time for gossiping, tale-bearing, backbiting, and mischief-making, nothing to do brings evil testimony against the brethren and dissension into the Church of Christ. And Jesus says, he who does not guard with me scatters abroad. We must not make the ability happen that God has to cry out and command the stones of this word, lifeless in its bones and subjects of the world, to speak. We have given life by our Creator. He sustains us every day that our heart is beating. Blood is flowing through our bodies. We are alive by the grace of God. He has given us a mouth to speak. We are revived because we are daily reading our Bible, seeking the Lord in prayer. So we don't have to wait until the Lord even has to say to stones, speak. He can say to us, speak. And we don't have to speak for ourselves, because if we are connected with Jesus, if we are connected with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit can speak through us and speak truth and speak wonderful words of life. Sister Wright is saying the following. The law of God is being trampled and underfoot. The blood of the covenant is still being despised. And can we fold our hands and say that we have nothing to do? Let us arouse. The battle is waging. Truth and error are nearing their final conflict. Let us march under the bloodstained banner of our Prince Emmanuel and fight the good fight of faith and win eternal honors. For the truth will triumph, and we may be more than conquerors to him who has loved us. The precious hours of probation are closing. Let us make sure work for eternal life, that we may glorify our Heavenly Father, and by the means of saving souls from whom Christ has died. Wonderful words. Sister Wright is not writing these words to stones. These words were not committed to paper to make things that cannot move, cannot speak, say something. But we can. We can speak. We can talk. We can converse with each other. We can show acts of compassion, something that a stone cannot do. Well, what a stone can do is break a window when you throw a stone through the glass. What a stone can do is give you a foundation to walk upon. That's something nice what a stone can do. With a stone you can build houses, shopping centers, museums. Stones can do a lot of wonderful things. But stones can never proclaim the truth of Christ. We have been touched by the truth which is in Christ, which is in the Bible. We are called out to proclaim a message, proclaim the truth. Because soon, at a time not of our choosing, but of our Lord and Savior, He shall do the same as those Israelites did as Jesus entered Jerusalem. By that time, we will sing and proclaim as we enter the heavenly gates, I love to say this, the New Jerusalem, as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, when we enter the New Jerusalem and say, we can sing Hosanna and we can sing praises because the Lord has made us who are like stones, lively persons to proclaim the truth. And because we proclaim the truth, because we hold on to the words of the law, because we love Jesus with all our hearts and all our understanding and all our soul and spirit, Christ made us alive. We will be alive for all eternity. Why? Because we didn't wait until the stones were about to speak. But because Christ spoke through us. Words of life, dear brothers and sisters. Wonderful words of life. Amen.